Yeah, praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn to Romans 1:17, but we're going to be doing a lot of scripture today. You're probably not going to want to turn to all of them. Near the end of the message, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So you might want to put a marker there. Romans chapter 1, real famous verse. The phrase that kept going through my mind this morning as I was praying is, the just shall live by faith. Sue and I cut our teeth really in the Word of Faith movement. That has now evolved into the Word of Prosperity movement, I guess. But it wasn't that way when we started. And I thank God for learning what I call faith 101. What is faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can we say it a little more plain? Faith believes what God says. Whatever God says, that's the truth. Doesn't matter what you see. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter what your experience has taught you. God's Word is truth. Faith believes what God says. And that's what we were taught. And I thank God for that. If it hadn't have been for learning those early lessons, I would have left the planet in 1990. We never would have made it to the prayer center. Because I was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 1990, they gave me 6 months to live. And if it hadn't have been for what we'd learned through Faith 101, I'd have left the planet. There's just no doubt in my mind. But it's amazing how faith doesn't change. God's Word doesn't change. Really, the devil doesn't change. But you can change. You can grow. You can mature. And it's amazing to me now. There's always a struggle to faith. Unbelief is easy. You know, what you see is what you get. I mean, you know, living by sight is real easy. Living by your emotions is easy. It comes naturally to human beings, you know. Living by faith is not so easy. Has anyone but me discovered that? Okay, you know. And there is a fight to faith. That's why Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith, you know. Well, this verse, just starting here in Romans 1:17, says, for therein, okay, let's start in verse 14. I just have a hard time starting a verse with the word for. Because I know he's... Let's start in verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And that's not just the new birth there. That's that word sozo. The root of it is sozo. And it means saved in every way. It means healed. It means delivered from sin. If you're blind, it means you see. If you're lame, it means you walk. It's everything. It is the power of God unto sozo. It is the power of God to everything you need to be delivered from everything. To everyone that what? Well, there's that faith thing, see. You're not going to be a believer without being a person that walks by faith. Because that's what a believer is. You walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God says. And to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, that's what we're endeavoring to do. I remember the early days of our walk I told you the story before about the first 3 days even of my own salvation. The devil kept trying to get me to walk by sight because I didn't feel saved. My emotions didn't change. No shaft of light beamed from heaven into my living room the day that I received Christ. No sound of Gabriel's trumpet, nothing, you know. And I had to stand by faith and confess God's word. That's why I'm so big on it. I know it works. So the feelings changed, you know. See, faith, God's word always changes your circumstances. It always will. So I was real grateful on that third day when my emotions caught up with the truth. But the truth is, I was just as saved the first day. I was just as saved the first day as I was the third day. Well, I remember those early days. And see the verse, you know, good fishermen use good bait. Well, the verse that Michael hooked me with back there in the... I mean, he used a lot of verses, but the one that finally snagged me was 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And I went, that's exactly what I want. I mean, I couldn't believe that verse was in the Bible, that I'd never heard it before. I was raised in church. I don't remember ever hearing that verse. I said, prosper, be in health, prosperous soul, you know, good mental, everything. I said, that's exactly what I want. God's interested in that? Oh, yeah. Well, and he is. See, I found out God's good. You know, God doesn't like it when you're broke. That's not his best. You know, he doesn't like it when little babies go to bed hungry because there's no milk in the house. He doesn't like those kind of things. He loves it when we have, you know, the things that we need. And he does want us to seek first his kingdom, though. Seeing what's going on now with faith so much now, it's just more and more stuff. Well, he's not against that. But what's going on now, the big struggle... Yes, sir. Get on. We're going to do macro. I'm going to read some of these verses, but I got to go in macro mode if I'm going to accomplish what he wants. Let's look at macro for a minute. Let's kind of back off and look at the whole gospel for just for a minute. In the beginning, it's like any parent when they know that the child is coming, you know, the pregnancy's in... Anyway, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and like any parent when they know that the child is on the way, you know, the wife is pregnant. In the natural, what do? We start getting the baby's room ready, and we buy the crib and paint the room and get everything just right. Well, God did exactly that. You can just read it there in the Genesis account. He made the heavens and the earth, and he made the plants, and he made the animals, and the sun, and all of these things, because he knows he's about to create his boy. And the reason I say that, if you read Luke's account of the genealogy, it goes all the way back to Adam. It says, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. Who goes all the way back. When it comes to Adam, it says, who was the son of God. Now, I'm not putting him on an equal plane with Jesus. I don't believe Adam was deity. I don't believe that. I believe Adam was a human with the life of God. When he breathed into Adam, and I know he didn't literally probably breathe. You know, Davis taught us. He says, you are aware God is not dependent on his own creation. He doesn't need oxygen to survive. That's worded that way to help us. You know, he breathed life. Well, he imparted, or however you want to put it. He took from the inside of himself, and that part of him became the life of Adam. That spirit that we know now. But see, Adam was born spiritually alive. Did you know 3 times in that Genesis account, 3 times... God doesn't normally repeat himself that close together. 3 times right there it says, Adam was made in the image of God. In the image of God created he him. 3 times. He was made in God's image. This was God's plan, that he would have a human, a species of human on earth, made in his image, with his very life on the inside of them. And they were to have dominion. Go about the earth and have dominion over the earth. And all that was God's original plan for man. Reminds me of another man that we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, a man born with the life of God on the inside of him. Did he have dominion? Oh my God. Did he have dominion? And it says he laid down his divinity. He wasn't doing anything because he was God. He was doing it because he was the Son of God. Made in God's image with the anointing of the Holy Ghost on him. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? Oppressed of the devil. So going back to macro mode now, God's original plan was to have humans, people on planet Earth, made in his image with the anointing to have dominion over everything on the earth. Well, we know what happened. Man fell. Man literally became a slave. A slave to what? We could say the devil, but let's say it a different way. Slave to sin. That's the way Jesus talks about it in the book of John. He says, he that commits sin is the servant of sin. But that word right there is doulos, servant. means slave. That's what happened. I've lived a long time on the planet now. You know, parent. Plus, I counsel lots of parents. Listen, any parent that's had a child fall to any kind of addiction, you have somewhat of knowledge of what it feels like. What it was like for God that his son, his boy, can I say it that way? His boy, Adam. His son, Adam, fell. Like any parent that's got a child on drugs, or like I was for so long, although I was pretty good at hiding it from my parents. But I was on alcohol and not drugs. That's it. Well, it's just another drug, isn't it? But I was on alcohol for years and years. Well, a parent that knows that and trying to help their child, I mean, it hurts, man. So God, he starts this rescue plan. How many of you know God's not a quitter? Well, I'm glad about that. How many of you know he's not one to give up on you? Gary is real glad about that now, I'm telling you right now. So he sets about this plan. He's going to have what he started out to have. So through this gospel that Paul says he's not ashamed of, for it is the power of salvation. Through this gospel, what has God done? He has freed man from sin once more. And that's really what God is calling us to have faith in. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, what I didn't know in those early days, and I won't say I didn't hear it, but I didn't know it. And again, I'm so thankful for Faith 101. I'm so thankful for the Faith Camp. But what eventually happened with the Faith Camp is they moved over now. Faith in more prosperity, faith in more wealth, faith in your best life now, basically. It's all based on that kind of thing. You know what God wants us to have? I'll tell you what the struggle is right now, day by day for us here at the prayer center, or at least me. Okay, I'll just use me. It's probably not you at all. Probably not you. He wants me to have faith that I am a new creature. The exact opposite of what I heard in churches most of my life. Because they kept telling me I'm just the same old creature. They didn't say it that way. They said, no, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And I believed it. And it's easy to believe it. You know why? If I live by sight, I will believe it. My body? Are you kidding me? Not just my body. Unrenewed portions of my soul. There's parts of me that still wants to get mad at you. There's parts of me that still wants to envy. God, you're promoting him? No, it's not that. It's not usually it so much with me, but it's... I'm not even going to tell you. What is it he's wanting me to have faith in? Out of my mouth last week, last Sunday, came this sentence. And I backed up like this, like don't throw prophet rocks. At one point I said, you are no less raised from the dead than Jesus Christ himself. Do you remember that? I listened to that again. You are no less raised from the dead. You are. What if I said it to you this way? You are no less. See, I hesitate myself. Is that okay to say that? You are no less God's child. Now, you're not divinity. Don't get that mixed up. I don't think you're ever going to have your own little planet to rule. I don't think so. You know? I don't think so. That's what certain camps teach. I don't really know, though. I mean, I don't know. All I do know is what I'm real clear about what he's called us to believe right now, to live by faith now. What is that? Here's two verses. You can turn to these. Hey, well, first off, for your reference sake, for reference on the tape, the phrase, the just shall live by faith, only occurs three times in the New Testament. I read you one of them, which is Romans 1:17. The second one occurs in Galatians 3:11, where it says, for that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Well, in context there, for the Jewish mind especially, how did you live by faith before Christ? You did your best to keep the law. But once the knowledge comes to you that by the law in the sight of God no man shall be justified, now you're to live by faith. Well, faith in what? In that regard, you're to live by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the third one is Hebrews 10, verse 38, where it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And we've been through Hebrews many times. The pressure that was being put on the first century Christians, these were Jewish people that became believers, and now great pressure was being put on them. I mean pressure, financial pressure, peer pressure, family pressure to recant Jesus, to say, no, I'm going to go back to the law. And so here it's saying, no, you're to live by faith and not by sight. Because what was happening to them by sight, they were being persecuted. Their parents would even say, I'll have a mock funeral. If you don't give up this Jesus and go back to the law of Moses, we'll have a mock funeral. We'll bury you. You won't be my child anymore. And the inheritance I was going to give you, I'm going to give to your brothers and sisters. Great pressure. So the admonition there, the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back to what? Go back to the law. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But see, there's three things here that I know for sure that God is dealing with the prayer center. If we're going to walk in the revival he's called us to walk in, we've got to at least have faith in these three things. From God's point of view, let's go back to the Father. See, in the context of a family, it makes sense because you're in a family, not a religion. If a parent has a child on drugs and they're addicted to the drugs and it's destroying their life, what does that parent think about day and night? What is on their mind? Getting that child free. And I'm telling you, first and foremost, the purpose of the gospel is to get you free from sin, free from that bondage. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can put faith for finances first, but that's not what he calls first. He does wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, but that's not what's first on a parent's mind. What's first on, if my son is a drug addict, I'm not real crazy about him having $1 million so he can buy all the drugs he wants. What I want is my son free. And that's what first and foremost the gospel is about, freeing you from sin. When I focus and I look at, do you know the devil is a liar? Did you all know that? Do you know he can, certain areas in my own life where I'm struggling to walk higher than I've walked before. Can I say it that way? But I'm struggling like you're struggling to walk more like who I am than what I see. Is that said okay that way? And you know, I get so condemned. I mean, condemned to the point of calling Tim, said, I cannot preach Sunday. I'm the worst sinner there. I'm the biggest hypocrite in the church. I can't come. You know? And then a flash of truth, and he'll take me back to how I really was when I first got born again. Drunk all the time, in the bars all the time, living my life for money, couldn't wait till the new issue of Playboy came out. And he takes me back to there, and I say, well, I'm not that guy. But see, what's happened is exactly what Pastor Davis taught us. He says, you keep doing this message. I mean, at first, we're like gold being purified, right? Well, I don't know anywhere on earth where you can find a vein of pure gold. Even what they say, oh, that's pure gold, you start refining it, there's impurities in it. So at first, when you start praying, you just get born again. The refining starts, okay? The purifying of the gold begins. In my case, I can see big black gobs coming to the surface in those early days. You know, like how about like alcoholism? There's a big black one. Let's get rid of that. Boom. Okay. Then there's pornography. Ooh, big black and ugly. Gone. Okay. Living for money. That's even maybe worse. You're bound down to a false god there, you know. But see what happens now, especially if you do this message. Do you know he's wanting you to walk like he's really made you, which is higher than where we're walking now. And so now I'm dealing with smaller, at least in my opinion, smaller black gobs. But the devil will take those tiny black gobs and he makes them bigger than the first ones. And it's just like that lady that came in that time that was so condemned because she was trying to fast and she'd failed. You know, she's going to do a 4-day fast. She'd maybe do one and start eating. She kept repeating that. She'd come into Dave just so condemned. I know God's mad at me. And he says, now, wait a minute. The vast majority of the real church world, I mean, the really born again people on planet Earth, the vast majority of them worldwide thinks fasting passed away in the first century. I know my idea of fasting and where I grew up was you don't have the Snicker bar after your lunch, you know, fasting. Or you have the small strawberry shake instead of the large strawberry shake, you know. And he says, here you are, you're actually resisting the flesh. You're actually resisting and fighting maybe 10 metric tons of pure flesh that's in your way. And you think God is, and you're struggling, and it's a fight. And you're not winning every round, and you think God is docking you for that? You think he's angry because you put yourself in that battle? He's your biggest champion. He's like, come on, you know. But see, and that's what he's doing with me, and I have to thank God for Dave telling us that, because, I mean, the enemy's pretty good at this condemnation thing. If he can make me, you know, I've literally almost picked up the phone to call. I'm the worst one in the church. I can't possibly come. And it's not true. You're the worst. No, you're not. I'm sorry. See, I told you. He's working on me, see? See, I couldn't resist it. I tried. Well, let's get a few verses here. Back to the Bible where safety is. Can you see the macro picture? What's God got on his mind? Freedom. Freedom. Free from sin in every way. Then dominion. See, let's get it in the right order. First, he wants you free. And I mean free. Walking in everything that he's bought for you. And then he wants you going around. He wants you anointed by the Holy Ghost. That same anointed, same Holy Ghost that anointed Jesus. Going around setting other captives free. See? And getting them born again and into the family. And that's the macro picture. Well, in order to walk like that, one of the things for sure, I'm going to give you two verses on the new creature. You've got to believe what the Bible says in spite of your ugly self. Or at least what you think is your ugly self. Let's say it, in spite of what you see. Although I have to admit this morning, and I'm telling the truth, Sue can tell you, when I got through with all of this in front of the mirror, I called Mom and said, good job, Mom. Because she likes that, anyway. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can turn to these or not turn to these, it's up to you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, not going to be, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things are become new. You have been crucified with Christ. See, I'm still digesting what Michael's trying to get across to me. I don't know if I've had that experience or not. But I do know the truth of it. Gary is dead, and I say, thank God for that. That rascal needed killing. I'm glad that he's dead. I'm not trying to patch him up. I'm trying to keep him buried. In my understanding, I'm not that guy. That guy is dead, crucified with Christ, and who I am now, I am a new creature. How do I know I am? Because the great I am says I am. What is faith? Faith believes what God says. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I say it again. It helps me. Meetings like this, where we're telling truths like this, we should lock the doors, close the windows, because this information is for aliens only. See, if you're not born again, this doesn't even apply to you. You can if you decide to be born again. But if you're not born again, you're the old creature. Now, religion will have you think, It was years before. You know what religion teaches right there? If any man be in Christ, he's the same old creature, just forgiven now. And I believed that for years. That is not the case. Turn to somebody and say, I am a new creature. I was crucified with Christ. I died. Said, the real me, I've already done all the dying and I'm ever going to do. I'm going to lay this body down one day. But the real me, I've already died with Christ. See, your eternal life doesn't begin when you leave the planet. Your eternal life began for you the day that you received Jesus into your heart. You are already living forever. You're already living forever. Your eternal life forever has already begun. You're already walking out the first stages of it. It's just this first stage, you wear this kind of a body. The rest of the time, you wear another kind of body. I'm really looking forward to that one. All right. Look at this one. Galatians 6:15. I'm staying in macro mode. I'd love to give you all the verses around every one of these, but he's got a picture he's trying to deliver here. An image. Galatians 6:15. And this is right near the end of Galatians. You know what that book is about? That the group at Galatia, the Judaizers had come after Paul led them to the Lord. And the Judaizers are trying to put them back under the law, saying, okay, well, yeah, Jesus, we're not denying Jesus, but if you want to be perfect, you got to keep the law. And the primary issue was circumcision. That's number one. Boy, that was the big issue of the day. Today it would be the hundredfold return. No, I'm sorry. Or the tithe or something. I notice circumcision isn't the big issue today, but it was the big issue then. And so he's telling them plainly, he says, look, this is the summation of the whole book, Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, that right there, that phrase is worth the price of admission. Because you're either in Christ Jesus or you're in Adam. You can't be in both. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. The only thing that matters is a new creature. Have you been born again? That's the only thing that matters. Now you can be born again and sit under doctrine that puts you back in the mindset of an old creature. And that's really, it's better than nothing. I walked that way for a long time. Thank God he loves me. Thank God I don't have to go to hell. Thank God he was my substitute. Thank God he died for me. It's better than nothing. But it's a far cry from where our Father wants us to walk. Now that he has... Did you know that Ephesians told us that that new creature on the inside of you is made in whose image? It's remade... It's Genesis, the sequel. It's Genesis all over again. When you got born again, it's the book of Genesis again for you. In essence, he breathed life into you anew. You are a new creature. Made. I double dog dare you. Turn to somebody. I double dog dare you. That's, if I just dared you, that's one thing. But I'm double dog daring you. Turn to somebody and say, I am made in the image of God. See, in your spirit, that's exactly. In your spirit, that's exactly so. That's exactly what he wanted from the beginning. Children on earth. See, that's why God and Abraham got along so well. Did you ever notice Abraham wasn't pining out in the desert going, oh God, you've never let me start a religion. Oh God, you've never let me start a religion. Was that what was on Abraham's mind? No, what was on his mind was he had no children born of his own body. He had no child. And so God's looking at this condition and he's going, now Abraham, you want children born of your own loins, of your own flesh? God's going, I'd like to have children on earth born of my spirit. You and I should make a covenant together. In this covenant, you'll wind up with what you want, children born of your own body. And eventually, I'll wind up with what I want, which is children born of my spirit. Hello, offspring of God. This is the macro. This is what he's after. Children on earth made in his image once more. Now, eventually we're even going to have our glorified bodies, and that's the hope. When it says we're saved by hope, that's what Paul is talking about there. We're going to look at it a little bit near the end of this one. But that's the saved by hope thing. Listen, you're saved by faith. But in this dispensation, the only thing that we're not, that we've not yet received, is the glorified body. See, you've got a renewed spirit, recreated in the image of God. You already are a new creature. It's, and your soul can be renewed. See, your soul can be renewed to think like God. That's where I thank God for this message. That I finally gave up years ago trying to figure it out. I found out I can just pray it out. If I learn how to meditate the Word and pray in the Holy Ghost, it's, you know, I've really passed the responsibility torch from me to Him. If you do this message, you pass it from you to Him. Because if you assimilate or meditate the Word of God and pray in the Holy Ghost, now whose responsibility is it to teach you? You passed it over to the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you, honey, He is good at what He does. He will not fail you. Your thinker will change. And it's more than how you think. For years, I just kind of had it that way. I'm finding out that it's a complete metamorphosis. It's not just changing the way you think. It changes your heart values. It changes what motivates you. It changes. You become like Him. You think like Him. You feel like Him. Your value systems becomes what valuable to Him. You used to squeeze that buffalo nickel so hard to gave the buffalo a headache. You know, squeeze that nickel, wouldn't let it go. You start feeling like Him and thinking like Him. You can't walk by somebody hungry and not take care of it. Can't do it. Why? You're thinking like Him. Plus, you stop worrying. Do you know God doesn't? You'll just meditate right there for a little bit. You got it? He doesn't. Why do we? I'm going to listen to this one myself, Tim. I think it's a good one, Alan. All right, let's move on. So there, right there, there's two verses. I could have given you more. There's two verses. The thing that matters is a new creature. All right? Here's another thing that he wants us to have faith in. Faith, now that you're a new creature, regardless of what you see and regardless of your history, and I'm talking about yesterday, you are now able to keep the righteousness of the law. Let me give you two verses for that. Romans 2:26. Therefore, here we go again, starting with therefore, if the uncircumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Now, we can't do just that verse. Go to Romans 2, starting verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, here he puts a parenthesis. He says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. Now, we just read the same author over in Galatians says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. But it sounds like he's contradicting himself. But the doers of the law shall be justified. But in Galatians 3:11, he says, no man is justified by the law. So what's going on here? All right, let's keep going. But the doers of the law shall be justified, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, now notice, do by what? Do by what? Do by nature. You ought to write in there, new nature. He is writing to the Jews at Rome, explaining to them. See, the Jews had a hard time understanding how God could just bring these swine-eating Gentiles in accepting them on, like they have them who's, you know, they've been serving God for centuries. I mean, how can you just bring in these swine-eating Gentiles and give them the same inheritance as with us? And he's trying to explain to them It's because of the new nature. It's not got anything to do with the law. The law was your schoolmaster. It was supposed to show you, you can't keep it. You need a Savior. These Gentiles, their nature has been changed. They have heard the gospel. Now it says, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. Well, that's exactly the promise of Hebrews. He says, you don't have to go to your neighbor anymore saying, well, how to know God? He says, no, I will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts. He changes your nature. You did maybe before, you know, it's like the guy in Romans 7. He didn't know it was wrong to covet until he read God's law. But see, if you get born again, truly born again, you know it's wrong to covet instantly. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to lie. Your spirit will spank your behind. Try and lie and get away with it. You can't. If you can, we're going to have an altar call later today. So when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Now notice he almost quotes Hebrews here. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Is that not exactly what God said he was going to do in this new covenant? I want to make a new covenant, not like the one that I made with their forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt. He says, no, I'm going to write these laws in their minds and in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, he's not talking about you excusing Bernard and Bernard excusing you. No, he's talking about those thoughts. Every thought you have, you compare it with the law of God that's written in your mind. This is part of the very struggle, the very thing that I'm talking about right now. You either approve it or you don't approve it. Well, let's go commit adultery. Which that's not the one I'm fighting, by the way. I don't want people to read stuff. But as, for example, the thought comes that we should go commit adultery. You compare that with, that's not what the law of God in my mind says. We're not going to do that. I judge that as being unworthy of me. I'm a new creature. We don't do that. That's wrong. See? You walk by the law, living by faith, that you are a new creature. So anyway, we could go on with that, but do you see? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keeps the righteousness of the law, well, how are they the righteousness of the law? He's not talking about every jot and tittle and phylacteries where, you know, phylacteries, and he's talking about the heart of the law, the righteousness of the law, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not this and shalt not that. He writes that in your heart. The day you are born again, in your heart and in your mind, you know it's wrong. The just shall live by faith. You walk by that, not by sight. You walk by that and not what your flesh wants you to do. But to do that, you sure got to believe you're a new creature. You got to live by faith. Okay. Another one is Romans 8:4. See, that particular verse says that the righteousness of the law, and that's what I was looking up, that phrase, the righteousness of the law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, that should be a little S there. He introduces the Holy Ghost later on in this chapter. What he's talking about right now is the new birth. So let's back up to verse 1. You know, Romans 7 that's the struggle of the man who's been given God's law. Like a Jew in the Old Testament, he has God's law, and with his mind he says, I agree, it's good and holy, I want to keep it. But when he tries to keep it, he finds out he has no power to keep it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And then there's the great transition is from that condition there in chapter 7 to the born-again person in chapter 8. And that's why he says in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That phrase means you've been born again. That in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All of these should be little s. He's talking about the new nature. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There it is. Back to macro. You remember in the beginning, he made his boy? This boy and girl, actually, he called them Adam, okay? And he made them free from sin, didn't he? His own nature was on the inside of them. He made them free, like him. And he made them to have dominion. Everything that they said, the Holy Ghost working with them. But they fell. They became slaves of sin, like a drug addict. It could be any kind of sin, though. The whole human race became a slave of sin. And this first phase of the gospel, what I mean by first phase, we don't have our glorified bodies yet, but this first phase where our spirit has been quickened from death to life, that's the part of us that he had to rescue, that he had to put new life in, because priority number one is make my boy free so he's not a slave anymore. That's us. And that's number one, like it would be on any parent. Hey, we'll talk about where you're going to live later. Let's get you off drugs first. It's killing you. And that's exactly from a parent's point of view. That's why God says, the first thing I'm going to do is give them a new nature. Why? It will empower them to be free from sin. They won't be slaves to sin anymore. Most of the churches I grew up in did not paint that image of hope in me. They would preach verses, but the end result, I know. How do you know, Gary? God, Lord, I sat there for 8-9 years. Most of my growing up years, I heard it over and over. No, but you're just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. That flies in the face of the very heart of the gospel. But it is easy to believe it if you live by sight. See, I'll be honest with you. I can read Romans 7. I can read Romans 7. A lot of preachers preach. A lot of well-known preachers preach. No, that's a born-again man just having trouble with his flesh. And that is easy for Gary to believe. I can identify, be honest with you, there's days I feel a whole lot more, I can identify a whole lot more with the Romans 7 guy than I do the Romans 8 guy. You guys are looking at me so holy, I just, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, do you? It's easy to believe that if you live by sight. Because why? I have this struggle. It's a fight. My flesh and... See, the flesh is more than just the body. We could go to the works of the flesh right now in Galatians, which we don't have time. It talks about envy and hatred. Well, you don't envy and hate with your elbow. You know? It's talking about not only the appetites of the flesh, you know. It's talking about the unrenewed portions of the soul that still think like the old man. Okay, I'm just going to give you these verses quick because we've got to get to what he's really after here. Okay, the just shall live by faith. Number one, faith that I'm a new creature. Number two, faith that I can keep the righteousness of the law. You really don't have to do any of those things anymore. You're free from it. But now let's move on to faith that I am truly free from sin. Romans 6:18. In fact, all four of these verses are in Romans. Most of them are in Romans 6, so you can find them quick. So go ahead and look at Romans 6:18. It says, being then made free from sin. Notice how that's past tense. Being made free. You have been made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. I don't live my life to serve sin anymore. I live my life now to serve righteousness. Why? Because I can. Well, what if I stumble and fall? You're not taking 1 John 1:9 away from this old boy. See, we do have something that Adam did not have. We have the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat. We have, it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Advocate means lawyer. You have a lawyer on your side. His name is Jesus Christ. When you sin and you come to him, he points to his own blood. And the judge, he's your father. Did you get that? You're not going to take it away from me. Thank God. If I have to go to that blood, you know, wait 70 times 7 before lunch, I'm going. Because I intend to, I'm growing. I'm conquering. You didn't conquer that whole land. I mean, the type and shadow is the book of Joshua. He says, I'm not going to give you the whole land in one day. It's city by city, stronghold by stronghold. Well, I found that to be the case. Have you? All right. So being then made free from sin, You became the servants of righteousness. There's one witness. Look at verse 20, just two down. For when you were the servants of sin, when you were the servant, and that word there again is doulos, that's slave. When you were a slave of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now, well, here it is, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, Sue and I, she could come up here and join me. We could spend an hour telling you about the fruit that we used to produce before we got saved. All kinds of sin fruit. People liked us, but they were sin fruit bearers also. They did. They liked us. And we were trying to be nice to each other. We were trying to have a good marriage, and we were in that regard. But we were living for money. You know, we liked to party. I've told you enough. Okay. We were bearing fruit. The world would call us a success in those days. You know, the right kind of house in the right part of town, driving the right kind of cars, wearing the right kind of clothes, in the right kind of business. Dead as a doorknob on the inside. Both of us. Producing fruit of sin and unrighteousness. I compare how we were then with how we are now on those days when I remember that. And compared then, I mean, my goodness, the fruit is very much different in our life. Yet my tree seems, and I haven't really found scripture for this. And I look at the overall tree, the tree is pretty good. You know, I mean, compared to how it used to be. Fruit, and the reason I'm saying is, notice it says fruit of holiness. My tree has speckles on it. Yours probably doesn't. There's a lot of good fruit, and I compare it to how it used to be, a lot of good fruit. Baskets of good fruit. I can get some smaller baskets of not so good fruit. Things I'm still dealing with. What are they? Again, it's none of your business, okay? I'm not asking you about your stuff. Some of it, a lot of times, let's see. Okay. Now, if you still got some speckles on your tree, see, this is why it says, even if you're in Christ, Jesus says, if you abide in me, my Father, you might be bearing fruit. You know what it says there? He's going to prune you that you can bear more fruit. Now, there's our verse. Thank you, Lord. He had to come to my rescue. I was going, I don't have verse for this. Yeah, there is a verse for it. Even if you abide in him, you've been pruned. But he says, my Father, he's going to prune you some more that you can bear more fruit. Well, there's the pruning analogy or the gold. Okay, maybe the big black gobs aren't still coming to the surface, but there's some little black gobs coming to the surface, you know, impurities. That's got to go. All right. Well, what's the cure? Well, what God is after, you know, what would any parent want? If you really did get your son set free from drugs, how do you want him to walk then? You want him to walk free. If he really is free, then you want him to stay free, don't you? So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But really, we're going to back up. The verse is verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, it'd be real easy to end right there. And without the context, it doesn't help you a whole lot. And you almost have to go back to the beginning of this book. Let's go back in chapter 4 to verse 5. I want you to see the struggle. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How many are real glad about that? We're born again. But now notice, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, you have not received your glorified body yet. The one that you're wearing right now is still of the earth. Okay? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now notice, We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You read this, you think to go to the prayer center. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I've got 5 minutes, so we can't tarry. I've just got to go for the picture that he's after here. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now, he's talking about the complete physical resurrection here. He's looking forward to that day. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Faint not at what? Troubled on every side, distressed, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Not only the persecution that comes from people, but just the stuff your own body will throw at you. That's what he's starting to talk about here. For which cause we faint not. A lot do. Many do. Look around the room, will you? This is not easy. Living by faith and not by sight. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Let me read it again. Persecuted, troubled on every side, perplexed, despair, and agony on me. We'd go to the other one over there, shipwrecks and perils of my brethren, perils of strangers, and all the fastings and beatings and all of that, not to mention the appetites of your own flesh that you have to keep putting down. No, I will not do that. I will not respond. I will not respond with anger. I will not do unto them like they've done unto me. Even though your flesh still wants to, it's not saved. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, 70 years? How many years? I don't know. What's he mean, light? Or light affliction, which is but for a moment. What does he mean by that? You know that eternal life that you're already living? This little part where you lived in this body. Again, me and Bernard, I can see us. 5,647,000 years in the future. At the Starbucks. In the new heavens and the new earth. We're at that point looking back going, boy, that affliction that seemed so hard back then, that was just for a moment, wasn't it? That little 120 years on earth, boy, it seemed so tough at the time. That was like a breath, like James called it. It's like a puff. It's like a vapor. It's that quick compared to the life you're going to live for all eternity. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen. What are the things that are seen? Persecutions, troubles, distress, despair, always bearing about the dying, always contending with the flesh, always saying no, always saying no, always saying no. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now quickly, we got about a minute. For we know, that chapter division should not be there. He hasn't changed the subject at all. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, the flesh you're wearing now, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but rather clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And in the book of Romans, where he's writing to the Jews, he starts talking about those groanings, for all of creation is groaning. And we're groaning within ourselves also. With, you know, it's like, why do I keep having this battle? Well, you don't have your new body yet. And it is a fight of faith. You've got to live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not live by how you feel. Live by faith, not faith. Live by faith, not faith. Live by faith, not by emotions. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the self, same thing as God, and who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, while we're here, we're in this body, you know, you're absent from the Lord. And here's the verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? In the context, it's real easy while you're living in this body to live by sight. How I must just be the same. I keep having these temptations. I must not really be saved. No, you are saved living in a fallen body and living in a fallen world. Live by faith. You are a new creature. You've been set free from sin. Walk like who you really are. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you.